idea that definitely we want to forgive other people and are called to forgive other people and to give second chances, but it's an interesting dialogue, especially when people aren't as sorry or remorseful as we think they ought to be. Let's see here. So we've been learning in this sermon series, especially as we looked at Toy Story and realizing that we belong to God, and then in Coco that we're a child of God. And last week, Chelsea helped us see how joy and sorrow and our emotions are all intertwined, and that's how God created us. And today we look at being lost. Being lost. When was the last time you were lost? Finding Nemo tells this wonderful story about Marlin and his wife, and just like any great Disney movie, there's always a parent who is lost, and at the very beginning of the movie, Marlin's wife and 399 of their eggs were destroyed by a barracuda. And so when Marlin found this one tiny egg, it turns out that he nurtured this little egg, and that would turn into Nemo. And as you might imagine, Marlin was very protective of Nemo. I think all of us, parents, grandparents, friends of people with children, we know what that struggle is. How much do you let go, and how much do you try to helicopter in and save your child from whatever it was? Debbie would tell you, I would rather dive in front of my children than allow them to skin their knees on the sidewalk. But some child psychologists would say when we do that, we hinder our children from learning that, you know, wounds do heal, that sometimes you need to get up after you've fallen or tripped in life. And some of those life learnings that we have a tendency to want to protect our children from feeling. Well, Marlin was overprotective, right? Realizing the struggles and the challenges, and he wanted, like all of us, to keep our loved ones safe. Well, as you can imagine, the first day of school comes, and little Nemo is very excited to go off to school, and one thing leads to another. And he goes out on his independence and doesn't do what his dad says, goes far away and gets taken up by some scuba divers who want to take him to Sydney, Australia, to be an exotic fish in some aquarium tank. It's a little more in-depth than all that, but that's the major gist of this movie. And so now we're looking at Nemo being lost from his father and what his father is willing to do to try to find Nemo.
Nemo, where's Nemo? I've got to speak with him.
What is it?
Your dad's been fighting the entire ocean looking for you.
My father? Really?
Really? Oh, yeah. He's traveled hundreds of miles. He's been battling sharks and jellyfish,
sharks?
All sorts of...
That can't be him.
Are you sure? What was his name? It's some sort of sport fish or something. Tuna? Trout?
Marlin?
That's it. Marlin, the little clownfish from the reef.
It's my dad. He took on a shark.
I heard he took on three.
Three?
Three?
Three sharks?
That's got to be 4,800 teeth.
You see, kid, after you were taken by Diver Dan over there, your dad followed the boat you were on like a maniac.
Really?
He's swimming, he's giving it all he's got, and then three gigantic sharks capture him. He blows him up, and then dives, starts to think when he gets chased by a monster with huge teeth. He ties the sting with a rock. What does he get for a reward? He gets to battle an entire jellyfish forest. But now he's riding with a bunch of sea turtles on the East Australian Current, and the word is he's headed this way right now to Sydney.
Wow.
Oh, what a good day.
He was looking for you after all, shark bait.
Now, what's kind of interesting about this movie is not only is Nemo lost, but to a degree, so is Marlin. Lost without his son. Dory is an interesting character. She has a short-term memory loss. And so she's kind of lost. And at one point, Marlin wants to ditch her because she takes too much time and too much energy. And she's kind of lost without that relationship. To a degree, I believe all of us experience some time being lost, being alone, wishing we could redo, to have another chance at something, to take a word back, to make a different decision. And as a result of that, we are experiencing some of the struggles of being lost. Now, what I think is kind of interesting about this parable, it's really a parable about life. And in the same way that the movie speaks about being lost, I think we can see that even in characters in this parable that Jesus is teaching about. You know, first of all, we have this father who, you know, some of us would question his parenting skills. I mean, really, giving your son your inheritance before you're dead seems a little interesting, doesn't it? We would question whether or not we should allow our children to have that much freedom, and why would we allow them to waste so many resources? And maybe part of what this story is about is the most important things in life aren't things. Maybe Jesus is trying to teach us what is really important in life. Then we have the younger son who, you know, fairly arrogant, if you would think about it, to ask for your inheritance before your parents have died. It's a little odd. And decides that he thinks life is better away from home and wants to get away, wants to get out. But then realizes, learns economic principles like limited resources, and we call that college. And winding up in a pig's pen. And for Jewish people, this was ground zero. The lowest of the lows. Hungry. Then we have the elder son. I love it because the elder son, the word in Greek is presbyteros, which is Presbyterian. Do any of you have presbyopia like Pastor Paul? Do you know what that is? Your eyes are old. They don't see as well as they used to. Elder. To a degree, I think all these characters have a sense of lost. Being lost. Being lost without the relationship of your loved ones, being lost in a foreign land, being lost in mixing what is important in life, work and obedience more than relationships and love. In this chapter in Luke, Jesus speaks about being lost, about the owner who leaves the 99 in search of the one lost sheep and rejoices when finding the lost sheep. The woman who looks throughout her house for the lost coin and again rejoices when finding something that is lost. I know some people close to me that have lost keys before and rejoice greatly when I find them. Being lost. And in this parable, we learn some truths about who God is. God's unconditional love. And instead of having a father who sentences you to long work days in the bunkhouse with the servants, gets a fatted calf, and celebrates because my child was lost and has been found. That's the type of love the father has. There's that sense that the father was looking every day because when he sees the son coming towards him, he does something uncharacteristic for a Jewish father. He runs after him and embraces him and says, "Let's party." It's a great image of God. Who do you relate to in this parable? I think it's easy if we're younger to relate to some and older, and but to a degree, I think we've all been in different places, experiencing different characteristics of each of these characters. I don't know how close you feel to God at this moment. Feeling as if maybe you have wandered away or are in search of something. All of us are searching for meaning in life, aren't we? The youngest son was searching after something, feeling like he's missing out. I've shared with you before Shel Silverstein's poem, "I went to find the pot of gold that's waiting where the rainbow ends. I searched and searched and searched and searched and searched, and then there it was, deep in the grass, behind an old and twisty bough. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine at last. But what do I search for now?" The most important things in life are not things, are not rules if you're the elder sibling, obedience. The most important things in life are about love and grace and forgiveness and relationships. And sometimes when we face life and death situations, we are reminded the importance of those relationships. I'd invite you to, especially as we come into this time of Lent, to think about where you are in your relationship with God. And it's our hope and prayer that during Lent you would take that next step of faith on your faith journey, to worship with us this Wednesday and to worship with us throughout Lent as we unpack what it means to be made for mission, our purpose in life. And then part of what our calling is as followers of Christ is to continue Christ's earthly ministry, to look out for those who are lost, maybe on the fringes of society that have been excluded for whatever reason, and to reach out to them and to say that they too are God's children, accepted and loved and forgiven. We're called to look for ways that we can help rescue people who are maybe feeling like they're in a foreign land or have wandered away and struggling. Maybe they've made bad decisions, they're broken, and you and I are here to help rescue them. Found out about an interesting story about a woman willing to sacrifice everything to help rescue a stranger. It's not the greatest video, but you'll get the gist of it.
We see a plume of smoke, like huge smoke. Like it looked like a warehouse was on fire.
A massive fire shutting down two interstates could be seen from miles away, but Holly McNally had a much closer view.
And I slowed down, and I saw the actual semi on fire. And then I looked to the front of the semi, and I see a man on fire.
McNally was driving with her mom and pulled up on the truck driver right after he crashed into the barrier, watching as fire consumed him and his truck.
And I'm scanning, and people are videotaping and watching, but nobody's running over there. So I told my mom, I said, "I'm stopping and I'm going over there."
McNally and another man both ran to the driver and quickly put out the fire on him, before realizing the worst was yet to come.
We got him out, and we start to walk away, and I see this huge, like, stream of liquid, and I could smell it. I said, "Jeff, honey, what were you hauling?" And he said, "Jet fuel." And I was like, oh my gosh.
Her shoes now soaked in jet fuel, McNally and the other man knew they had to move quick, especially knowing who was waiting for them at home.
And we're trying to carry him down, and it's like getting closer and closer, and the second explosion went off. And like smoke was hitting us, and I was like, you know, just praying, like, God, please let me get out of here so I can go see my baby.
That's him. My little man.
Just this week, McNally gave birth to a son, Connor. He's still in the NICU at St. Vincent, where McNally had just been minutes before pulling up to the fire.
I thought, what if that's my son? What if that were Connor, you know, when he's 30? Would you want somebody to just leave him there?
Luckily, the three of them made it before the fire spread. She hopes that her story of selflessness might encourage others to do the same.
My mom was like, you know, I can't believe you just didn't run away. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to leave somebody. I wish everybody was like that. You know what I mean? Like everybody, like I said, I think everybody should help everybody.
Isn't it amazing that after giving birth 5 days earlier, this mother was willing to sacrifice everything for a stranger? In the movie Finding Nemo, this overprotective father, Marlin, is willing to sacrifice his own life to try to find Nemo. In the Gospels, we're reminded again of what Christ was willing to do for us, to literally sacrifice all to share God's grace, God's love, and God's forgiveness. And we as a church are here to help those that are struggling. That's why we do the Sleep in Heavenly Peace, to help children have a place to sleep at night. That's why we're involved in 1960 Hope and trying to help the homeless here. That's why we're involved in NAM with the women's shelter, to try to help provide people that are in chaos and wondering what's going to happen, to somehow bring some wholeness and some healing to people in need. That's why we go to Guatemala. That's why we're trying to figure out ways of how do we take it up a notch to rescue people caught in human trafficking. This year, our adult ministry team and our missions team are looking to partner in a more effective and more active way to try to help people literally caught in modern-day slavery. We're here to reach out. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, to seek and save the lost." Will you pray with me? I invite you again to think about where you are and who you relate to in that story, and how might you experience more life and grace and forgiveness? And also, I invite you to think about someone you know who is wandering, maybe who is lost, who's broken, who feels alone, and ask God to help you to embrace that person. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I came across this affirmation of faith that speaks about who God is and who we are as the people of God, the church. Let us stand and affirm what we believe together. We believe in a bold God, creator of splendor, spinning stars into night skies, warming the planet with life-giving sunshine, filling the earth with all creatures, great and small. We believe in a big God, creator of galaxies, who's big enough to receive our praise and loving enough to answer our prayer. We believe in the risen Christ, who meets us in the brokenness of life, accompanies us on all our wanderings, and forever seeks to welcome us home with open arms. We believe in the Holy Spirit, guide and companion, who fills the church with windy hope and fiery compassion. We believe in the church where we can taste some of the heavenly banquet and live as a renewed people for the world. Please be seated. Just as Chelsea reminded us, no matter our size or age, we all have something to give to help reach out and save the least, the lost, and the lonely. How has God blessed you to bless others?
Dear God, on my own, what I have to give doesn't amount to much. In the light of all you have given to me and in the face of so much need, put together as a congregation, what we offer you here in love becomes more. Not simply added together, but somehow multiplied in its usefulness. We ask you to bless our gifts, and with the addition of your blessing, just as it was with the loaves and fishes,